Good evening. Can everybody hear me? If you can't hear me in the service, just stand up and shout. I can't hear you and I'll shout for you. I just want to thank everybody for the privilege to be able to speak tonight. I'm very nervous. I'm very excited. And I'm looking forward to tonight's game also, but that's not the focus of this message tonight. Now, I'm going to talk about giving tonight, like Vanna said. Now, it's not something that I had in me always, not something that I was doing always. Since I became a disciple 4 years back, God changed me. The scriptures changed me. He changed my view of giving, how I give, why I give. And I hope tonight that I can impart some of that to you. Now, I definitely am not perfect, and I definitely don't know everything. But hopefully through the message tonight, I can inspire you to give more tonight. I'm going to talk about investing in eternity. I'm going to talk about putting our money where we want our hearts to be. Now, for some of us, that might be a foreign concept. Eternity, what is that? That's one question. Why do I need to invest in eternity? And how do I do that? So hopefully tonight, we can get answers for those questions. If you can turn your Bibles to Luke 15... We're going to read from Luke 12, verse 15 to 21. Okay, Luke 12, reading from verse 15. Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable: "The ground of a rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Interesting story. Jesus says here in verse 16, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He goes over and he tells a parable of a man who has a good crop. He's actually a rich man. And this man has a little problem. He doesn't have space to store all his stuff. So he says to himself, "Well, maybe I should break down my current barns, break down my current storage areas, and build bigger, better, so I can store everything I have, and I can set myself for life. So I can sit back, relax, and be merry." But then God comes in and he says, "You fool. What happens if you die tonight? Who gets all this stuff that you've been storing for yourself? Who's going to get it?" And this is the way it will be with anyone who stores up for himself, but is not rich towards God. So what does this have to do with eternity, you might ask yourself? It's got everything to do with eternity. You know why? Because we tend to focus on the here and the now. We tend to think of what we need now, what we need in the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We think of that car we want, that house we want to live in, that holiday we want to go to at the end of the year, that retirement at the end of everything, that dress, that perfume. All of us, we all have our poison. That thing that we want and we strive to get to. Now we can so easily fall into the trap of living for the now and the here. But you know what? This life of ours, it's but a fleeting moment in eternity. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 144 verse 4, "Man is like a breath, his life a shadow which is quickly gone." Man is like a breath. Breathe in, breathe out. All together now, breathe in, breathe out. This is how short our lives is. A mere breath in comparison with eternity. A shadow. Now, I wanted to get a whiteboard up here, but if you look at my shadow here, there at the bottom, we can see it. There it is. There it's gone. Here now, and then all of a sudden it's gone. We can, at any moment, any second of the day, drop dead. It's all over. Gone. Like this fellow here in Luke 12. He was so confident in what he prepared for himself that he lost perspective of eternity. Now Luke 12 verse 21 says, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. Eternity is the now and everything after the now." Remember that. The second question, why do we need to invest in eternity? Let's read on here, Luke 12, verse 22 to 34. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus tells him, do not worry. Look at the raven. He eats. He doesn't have a storage place. But still he survives. I look after him. Look at the lilies. Look how they are clothed. Don't you think you are much more worth than a bird and a plant? Of course you are. I'll look after you. What do you need to do? Seek my kingdom. And you will get all of this. He goes on and he says, invest in heaven. Why? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Listen carefully. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, what do we believe? Luke 10, verse 27 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That's what you will love. Now, surely, if I'm investing my treasure in earthly things and I'm not giving towards God or his kingdom, then where does the Bible say my heart will be? It will be on earth. It won't be with him. It will be with that car that I desire, that house that I can't afford to live in yet, or that dress, or whatever it is for you. It will be anywhere but with God. Now, obviously, there's certain necessities in life like food, clothing, and shelter. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those luxuries that we all chase after. Those things that we don't really need, but we go for it with everything in us. And we get so consumed with it, we forget about what we're here for. And the facts, that's the facts. I've seen it in my own life. Just a month ago, my car got stolen. And all of a sudden, I didn't have transport. Now, I needed to get a new car. Ah, great. I can get a new car. Do you know how many cars there's out there? Whoa, there's nice cars out there. Ferraris and BMWs and Mercedes-Benz and you name it. It's out there. And my eyes were just, wing, a new car. So I was making plans, man. What can I get? How can I get it? To put you in the picture, the car that I was driving was a Mazda 323, 2000 model, hatchback, 170,000 Ks on the clock. It was reliable. I had no issues with it. But when it got stolen, oh, all of a sudden I want something better. My heart was shifting to earthly treasures. I was not looking at necessity. I was looking at luxury. And it's like Luke 12:33 says, it will be exhausted, it will be stolen, and it will be destroyed by moths. Pretty dangerous moths we have here on earth. Do not lose perspective of eternity, because that is what I did. I haven't bought my car yet, so you can keep me accountable on what I drive when I get it. So why do we need to invest in eternity? Well, it's simple. Where my treasure is, there my heart will be. Now, we cannot claim to love God if we are investing in everything else but in Him. Now, obviously, there's many places and many ways to invest in eternity, not just money. But you know what? It's easier for us to invest in the things that doesn't touch our pockets. Let's take time, for instance. It's easy to commit to church, easy to commit to Bible talk. It's easy to commit with Bible studies with people. It's easy to commit to serving, to be an early at church, to leave late. It's easy to read my Bible, make time for that. It's easy to pray to God. It's easy to serve others. There's a long list of things that you can do. But when it comes to serving God with our money, hey, oish, that's when we shy away. And it's a proven fact in this fellowship of ours. Recently I heard that only 40% of our fellowship gives on a monthly basis regularly. 30% of our fellowship gives maybe today, maybe not, maybe this month, maybe the next month, very irregularly. And another 30% doesn't give at all. Now to the 40% that does give regularly, I want to say thank you very much. Because of you guys, we can do what we do as a church. We can meet here tonight, because this all gets paid for. We can have ministers and ministry staff that can assist and help and guide us and show us the way. We can have great sermon series with invites. We can have great sound. There's so many things that we can have because of you, and I want to thank you for that. Now, out of that 40%, I'm sure there's some of us that if we compare what we give to what we keep, there's quite a gap. For those few, have a look at your budgets back at home. Change it. You can. For the 30% who gives it regularly and the 30% who doesn't give at all, I want to ask you tonight, go back home tonight. Think about why you're not giving. Sure, there is excuses and there is things where the budget is tight and I don't have money. That's acceptable. But you know what sometimes happens? We put ourselves in those positions and we do it on a regular basis. What we need to ask ourselves is our hearts really in the right place then? Do we really love God if that is what's happening? But take courage in this. You can change. You can change tonight. You can make a change tonight. That's the positive. Just a few tips. Go home. Go pray about this. Put this before God. Let this be something that is on your heart constantly. And make a decision to give. It's as easy as that. Sign a debit order. Don't allow Satan to tempt you with your money that's sitting in your pocket to give it out to something you don't need to give it out to. Give your contribution at the beginning of the month and not on a weekly basis. Same thing. End of the month, stuff is tight. Oh, I need to take the money. Use it for something else. Don't do it. Give your contribution in the beginning. And one important thing, skipping. Skipping is not an option. Like any other good habit, you won't go skipping on your quiet times. You won't go skipping on your time with God. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Don't skip on His. Go up and draw a budget up for yourself. Sit down, make a list of what your income and what your expenses are, and check where can you shave? Where is those luxuries that you can cut on? And go do it. Now, when I heard these figures, my heart took a dive. I was sad. Because you know what this says of our fellowship? According to Luke 12:34, where our treasure is, there our heart will be. Our treasure, our hearts is not with God. That's what it says. It's sad. Now we are bluffing ourselves if we think that we love God, but we're not actually investing in Him and His kingdom. And on top of all of this, the stuff that we so desire after, we so chase after, it's going to turn into nothing. It's going to turn to dust. Those moths, they're coming. So why do we invest in eternity? Because God knows what's best for us. He knows that if our money is not with Him, our hearts is also not going to be there. So go and do it. Trust Him. That's all you need to do. The final question. How do we invest in eternity then? Luke 12 verse 33 says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not be exhausted. Where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. Invest in where it makes a difference. Invest where you are going to make a change to someone's life in eternity. Now at this stage I need two volunteers. Whoever can be your first. I need two guys. Don't be afraid. You'll be sorry. Manik? Benik? This is for you. And this is for you. You can go sit again. You can go sit. So what just happened? You missed out on opportunity. What I just gave each of them is 500 rand. That was not the church's money. That was my money. Me and my wife's money. Now, when it came to making this decision, we talked about it. And I've got a really amazing wife who tends to bring balance into my life when I've got crazy ideas. She really helps me in every situation to just get a picture of what reality really is. And I want to thank her so much for this. We talked about it. She was nervous. I would have been if I was in her shoes. And chucking away money. But we agreed that this is what we want to do. You know why? Because we wanted to make a change to eternity. What helped us to make this decision was the following. We asked ourselves, if we keep this money for ourselves, if I take that 1,000 rand or that 500 I gave to Minik and the 500 I gave to Benny, I can do a heck of a lot with it. I can buy a lot of meals for myself. I can buy myself new clothes, whatever. There's a heck of a lot of stuff I can do. But ultimately, that stuff is going to go out of the window. It's going to get old. It's going to get torn. It's going to get broken. It's going to go missing. Now, I'm not asking you guys yet to become like Gandhi, and I don't think the Bible wants us to be like him also, to just give away stuff. But what we decided was that 500 rand to Minik and that 500 to Benny, that would have made eternity, or it would have touched one or two people here. That's all I needed to do, to touch one or two people here, to make a change in your lives. That's something that's going to last forever. If I can make you think tonight about your giving and how you give, then I've made a change in your lives. And that 1,000 rand is going to multiply and multiply and multiply into eternity. And that's why we made that choice. So, I just gave away 1,000 rand of my own money. It wasn't easy, believe me. We had our doubts. We tried to talk ourselves out of it while he was driving here. But we decided to stick to it. Because you know why? It makes a difference in eternity. Now for the people who got this money, I want you to remember this. When you walked in here tonight, you had a certain amount of money in your pocket. You would have walked out with that same amount of money in your pocket if I didn't give you this. The money that I gave you to as a gift. Now in the same way God blesses us, either on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or monthly basis. Those blessings, our salary, that's one of them. Ultimately, God is the one who created everything here. And He's still the creator. And He's still our master. That means He's master of our money also. So our monthly salaries, that's His. So what I want you to do with this gift, don't use it on yourselves. Although the temptation might be there. Go and invest it in eternity. Use it to make a difference in someone else's life. You can. Remember, you would have walked out here tonight not even knowing that you had an extra 500 bucks if I didn't give it to you. Now, there's many ways we can do this. But let's go look at a scripture. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Do not put your hope in wealth. Yes, he's speaking to the rich here, but in some or another way, we all sitting here is rich. And this lesson applies to us also. We need to put our hope in God and not in money. Verse 18 says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Now, how do we do this? How do we invest in eternity? Well, first priority, invest in our fellowship. Invest in what we have here. Make a commitment to give on a monthly basis. It's as simple and easy as that to get going on this route, to get going on this journey. And for some of us, that's a decision we need to make. Because if we don't, it's going to affect people's lives for eternity. If we don't have money, we can't meet here. If we don't have money, we can't have full-time ministry staff. We can't have sound. We can't have everything that you see here. But it starts with making investment. And if it is as little as 10% a month, then do it. But make that commitment. Start giving in that fashion. There's many other practical ways you can do it. But that's where you need to start. Now, maybe there's someone in a Bible talk that's feeling down or sad. Stick them for dinner. Buy them flowers. Buy them a chocolate. Invest in them. Invest in eternity. But do this above and beyond what you give on a monthly basis. That's going to challenge your heart. That's going to change eternity. Maybe you know of some issue that somebody's dealing with that they need advice on, and you know of a great book. Don't tell them, go read this and that book. Go buy the book. Give it to them and say, here you go, a gift. That's going to change their lives for eternity. You can do that. But again, do this above and beyond what you give on a monthly basis. It's easy. Maybe what you want to do is spoil some of your friends, your small group, people you serve with at church. Buy them coffee one morning. Encourage them. There's many ways you can do it. Maybe there's someone in financial need in your small group or someone that's close to you. Go buy them groceries and take it to them. We've got the financial capabilities to do this. We can invest in eternity. We can change. Be creative. Stop allowing the world to move you. Money. And start moving the world with your money. I gave away 1,000 rand. That's nothing. It's a lot of money, but it's nothing compared to eternity and what we're going to have one day. Now, all of us sitting here has got the capacity to give in some manner or fashion. For you, it might only be a 10 rand or 100 rand. All of us are in different financial states. Maybe you don't even get a salary. Maybe you work on commission. But you still need to go sit and start investing in eternity. And the only way you can do this, if you go sit and you go look at your budget and you go plan what you want to give on a monthly basis. It's like any other good habit. You just need to get going. If you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray to God, if you don't come to church, your spiritual life is going to take a dip. It's the same with giving. Your heart is going to get hot. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18 to 19. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that truly is life. if you want to truly live, if you want to take hold of the life that truly is life, then you need to start investing in eternity. Amen.
Amen. Peter, thank you very much. I hope that